Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check it out and check out our new blog. Look at the top left-hand corner of the homepage, and you'll see a little link there that says Jim's Blog. Go there and check that out. I'd like to know your comments on this. It's a little bit of a different blog. It's not your grandfather's blog. It's an audio blog. In addition to the written word that we have there, new things that we post every day, there's also the audio blog, and that's the current shows that we have up there, the shows that I do every day. They're going to be up there in archive form. So check that out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I'm excited about having Fred Marmon on the show. Fred's an old friend of mine. He and I go back a long ways, but he's never been on the show. Fred's a CPA, and he and his firm, in addition to their regular CPA duties that you know all about, that the CPAs do, he and his firm are also specialists in Sarbanes-Oxley compliance. And I've asked him to join us today to talk to us a little bit about the good, the bad, and the ugly of Sarbanes-Oxley. Fred Marmon, welcome to the show.
Jim, good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Thanks for joining us, old friend. Fred, tell the audience about Sarbanes-Oxley. If I said to you, okay, Fred, we're getting on an elevator, and we're going up 10 floors. It's not a real fast elevator, but it's going to get us there in a minute or so. Tell me about Sarbanes-Oxley before the door opens.
Well, Jim, it obviously is the biggest change in securities law since 1934, but there's several aspects, the key aspects of Sarbanes-Oxley that I'd like to mention. Basically, audit committee rules have changed dramatically. You know, they have to be independent. They can't have management sitting on audit committees anymore, and they have to have a financial expert as part of the audit committee.
Mm-hmm. The audit committee is a division of, and these are larger companies. It's typically publicly companies, right?
Right. This is part of the board of directors
right. That
have to be independent and have to have a financial expert on that.
Right.
Also, it created what we call the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, which basically rules the auditors of public companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a governmental agency that oversees the auditors. It approves auditors that can audit public companies, and then it inspects once a year or once every 3 years, depending on how many public companies you do. It comes to their auditor's practice and makes certain that he's
like your office.
Yes, that's right. We're one of the members of Peekaboo, and they also set some of the standards.
Wait a minute. Tell us what you tell us. You introduced a new piece of jargon there. Tell us what Peekaboo is.
The Public Company Accounting Oversight Board.
Okay, I love.
That's our name for the new government.
I thought you were talking about that skier.
No, that's auditor.
You know, just jargon. When I thought I'd heard about everything, I've seen an elephant fly. I've seen an anteater bale of hay. I never thought I'd hear a CPA use the term peekaboo in talking about his practice.
Yeah, that's the acronym for the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board.
You know, and a lot of people think you guys aren't fun. I don't know where we got that, Fred.
Oh, man. Also, Jim, in Sarbanes-Oxley, the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer, and the Chief Executive Officer have to certify the financial statements for the first time. And
That was a real controversial piece of Sarbanes-Oxley, wasn't it, Fred?
It was. You know, that had never been done before, and I think it's a good step.
Well, isn't that where Sarbanes and Oxley, the two senators, isn't that kind of where they began? I mean, didn't they say, okay, we want to have I'm speculating, Fred, that they said, I want these darn CEOs and these CFOs to sign their work. I don't want another Enron to happen. I don't want another WorldCom to happen. I don't want another Adelphia, Global Crossing, whatever. I don't want this to ever happen again to my constituents. And so I want those guys to sign this thing. Now, what do we got to do to make that happen? And everything else was built around that. Am I wrong about that?
Well, that's true. They wanted to have legal liability for a CFO or CEO that knew his financial statements were incorrect but issued them anyway. And
right.
Now he has to sign a statement certifying that they're correct.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody been taken to task for signing an incorrect since Sarbanes-Oxley? Has any CEO or CFO gotten into trouble for that?
Under Sarbanes-Oxley, Scrushy was the first person that was prosecuted, and obviously,
that.
You know,
right.
He was acquitted, but
right.
it's going to happen again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, let me say that one of the last and I think most onerous parts of Sarbanes-Oxley is what's called the 404 compliance.
Right.
That's where management has to assess their internal controls and then certify their internal controls. And then the auditor turns around and has to have an opinion on those internal controls. And this is the part that's turned out to be so costly.
Yeah, this I'm looking at four things that it says under the rules, management's annual internal report will contain these four things, and it's pretty onerous stuff.
Oh, it is. And there was a study at the William E. Simon Graduate School of Business that predicted Sarbanes-Oxley was going to cost $1.4 trillion. I don't know if it's going to cost that much, but the big part of the cost is coming from that provision right there.
Right. How much, you know, Fred, as you know, this show is all about small business, and
right.
Of course, we do talk about our big business brothers and sisters out there because they're our customers and our partners and our competitors sometimes, and some of us want to be a big business. How much do you think Sarbanes-Oxley has put a lid on the pot of growth plans for small businesses?
Well, Jim, economist.com did a study that said basically if you have over $5 billion in revenue, Sarbanes-Oxley is going to cost you 0.1% of your total revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have less than $100 million, it's going to cost you 2.5%.
Which is prohibitive, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you have $100 million in revenues and you're going to have to spend $2.5 million just to comply with one act, then
right.
Obviously that's pretty onerous.
That's pretty onerous. Fred, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with Fred Marmon. And he's, by the way, with Marmon McCrary & Associates. When we come back, I'm going to get him to give us the website because some of you out there might be interested and know what his company has to offer. There are not a lot of folks like his organization who know this much about Sarbanes-Oxley, and he might be able to help you. We're going to be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
As I was walking down the street one day,
we're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with my old friend and your new friend, Fred Marmon, CPA. And he's a leader of a CPA firm called Marmon McCrary & Associates. And Fred, why don't you give us that website, please?
It's Marmon McCrary and MarmonMcCrary.com, M-A-R-M-A-N-N. MCCRARY.com.
All right, and check that out. Now, when they get there, can they find out about your Sarbanes-Oxley activity and how they can contact you?
Absolutely. We have a special section on Sarbanes-Oxley. We'd love to.
Can they learn some things? Can they learn some things about Sarbanes-Oxley if they go to your website?
I think so. In fact, we have an innovative approach, we think, for the smaller companies that we think would interest anybody that's looking at 404 compliance.
Well, now, is there a niche out there for people like you who, obviously, your prime customer with regard to Sarbanes-Oxley is a publicly held company. But if I've got a company that I, you know, I'd like to take public in the next 12 to 24 months, I need to know about Sarbanes-Oxley. That's a big part of my decision, isn't it?
I think so.
Jim. Would you, does a company like yours, or your, the folks who do what you do across the country, are they, is that a niche opportunity for you to be able to hold the hand of folks and out there who want to go public?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, it's not 404 compliance and Sarbanes-Oxley is not only affecting public companies, but also eventually I think it's going to affect most companies. Right,
it's already
now,
rolling downhill for small businesses with regard to the cost of audited financial statements, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The audit costs have already affected them.
How much would you say that they've gone up?
Well, let me say this. Out of the 633 top companies, the top 1,000 companies, Fortune 1,000, just 633 of them that have completed their audit for this year had their audits go up $1.4 billion.
Wow.
And what that does is trickle down to everybody below.
Absolutely.
But Sarbanes-Oxley, I think, Jim, is going to affect a lot of people. Bankers now are starting to ask in loan applications for businesses if you comply with certain of these laws.
How long is it going to be before they start asking small businesses watered-down version questions of Sarbanes-Oxley, non-public companies?
I think it's already starting.
Yeah, folks, hope you're running your antenna up out there, folks, because these are the kinds of things that we want you. I don't want you to be surprised about this. Go ahead.
Insurance companies are starting to ask a lot of these questions before they issue D&O insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Government contracts are starting to have
some of you may remember. Some of you may remember when your bank was asking you Y2K questions. Are you Y2K compliant? They didn't want to loan money to a company that they thought might be shut down by Y2K. It'll be that kind of those kinds of questions that not obviously not about Y2K, but there'll be your questions. When I say those kinds, what I mean is something that you'll think is not so much related to why you're there.
Jim, we had a private company that was wanting to enter the credit market. They were wanting to do a private placement. And the investors basically told them they were going to have to be 404 compliant before they could get their private placement done. So it's going to have a big effect on small business.
What Mike Menzies, the banker who was on earlier, you know, he's not a big fan of Sarbanes-Oxley, and he said his solution would be to bifurcate the system and make. And his idea was anybody with less than $50 million in capital could actually not comply with Sarbanes-Oxley. What do you think about that? Not the number, but the idea.
Jim, I'm not sure where the cutoff would be. There obviously is some point where Sarbanes-Oxley cost can never be worth the benefits, but I do believe Sarbanes-Oxley was needed. Now, Congress might have gone overboard, but there's no question the Enrons, the HealthSouths, the WorldComs, Waste Management, Sunbeam, even Fannie Mae. I'm afraid that, you know, people were losing confidence in our markets, and that's the last thing that we can have.
Well, and, you know, one thing you said at the very beginning that I hadn't thought about, I'm familiar with the Securities Acts of 33 and 34, having been a registered rep in the past. You said that this was the most dramatic changes in securities law since 34.
Right.
But when you realize that this whole thing started from alpha to omega, from idea to president signing in 90 days, that's pretty frightening, isn't it?
It is. It is. And there's no question that these costs are too high. As a matter of fact, Will McDonough, who's the president the chairman of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, was quoted recently as saying, "We clearly recognize that these 404 costs are too high." So there's going to be some relief.
Fred, I got to wrap it up. Let me ask you a quick question: has your firm learned how to help smaller companies hold their 404 compliance costs down?
We do, Jim. We believe we have an innovative method that we call it TDA,
right.
Top-down approach,
right.
and we think it can really help the smaller companies.
Fred, thank you for being here. You did a good job today, and you brought some good information. Will you come back another day and talk to us some more?
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Fred Marmon. That's Marmon McCrary, McCary, by the way, on McCrary. Marmon, two N's, MarmonMcCrary.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break. Right back with Paul Sarvadi. He's the chairman and CEO of Administaff. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.